And I want you to see where it says the word stranger, and I want you to see the word pilgrim. And so beginning from verse 8 in Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Abraham was the friend of God, and he sets us an example concerning faith and obedience to God. And a major part of this example was that he was willing to leave his home, his country, his family, and depart for a place that God would show him. Now, this whole theme becomes a major theme for the New Testament. In fact, we find many throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, follow the same path and speak of the same reality. Moses, David, Peter, and Paul all speak about this. It's a walk of faith. A walk of faith. It's like a journey that begins with salvation and continues until we reach the destination that God designs for us. God's people are essentially not home where they live. You understand that? You might go home tonight, but for God's people, that's not our home. There's a longing, a yearning for something better. Isn't that true? I would think most anybody you talk to, even if they don't know the Lord, they say, there's got to be something better. I mean, of all places in the world and all things that are going on around the world, it seems as if things are getting worse and worse. I don't know about you, but I would want something better. There's got to be something more satisfying. Well, the sojourner has grabbed hold of that truth. Everything here is temporary. And the sojourner lives in a temporary dwelling. He lives in a tent. Sojourners are not necessarily rambling gypsies or wandering Jews, nor are they refugees or asylum seekers, nor are they on holiday. There's purposeful movement. Sojourners are seekers and strangers. And the world thinks us strange because we do not join with them in the same revelry. So we are a separate and therefore a peculiar people. Sojourners are subject to suffering in their journey when they're rejected and persecuted. And sojourners have a job to do while they're on that track. And because these things are true, I wanted to help you understand perhaps a bit more about being effective sojourners. And perhaps there'll be some things you already know, and I'll remind you of them. And maybe there'll be a couple of things you can learn, and we'll try to show you those tonight. So I've entitled this message, God's Savvy Travelers, the Sojourners. Savvy Travelers. Actually came with the idea. I heard this radio program a number of years ago called The Savvy Traveler. And it basically would come on and they give you tips about what to do if you're going to travel to certain parts of the world. You know, what kind of luggage to take or clothes to pack or what kind of things to deal with customs and so on. All of the things that might be good to buy in a certain place and things that might just be junk, you know, whether it's a deal or not. All these things would be important things to consider. You know, whether you're going to cross the border and end up in jail or, you know, just you don't necessarily pack the same clothing that you'd wear if you're going to Alaska as you would if you're going to Fiji. Okay, so all those things were part of this program. And they try to tell you those things. And I figure for the Christian, there's some things we need to know. There need to be some things we take on board. Maybe there's some things we need to leave behind. You know? That's what I always heard. Travel light. I keep telling my different ones in my family, if we travel over to America and come back here, it's like everybody wants to carry things for them. I said, no, travel light. I said, my arms keep getting longer every time I travel. And we're going to travel light. And as Christians, there may be some things we need to set aside in order to stay closer on the path. And so all these things, I hope we'll just set our minds, our attention just for a bit tonight as we consider with Abraham and with others. The sojourners follow in faith. And so taking your notes there, we learn about Abraham, the savvy traveler for God. And I want to focus on a few things that relate to our topic of sojourning. In the passage that I read, it seems that the writer is doing more than just telling us about Abraham and Sarah and the others. He's actually saying, there's some things I want you to learn about them and apply to your own life. It's not just for them. And the tendency is for us to say, oh, isn't Abraham a wonderful guy? You know, he gave up everything and he left for this country and he wandered about and God showed him his will. But God doesn't expect everybody to do that. You know, it's easy for us to say that. And I do have to admit that not everybody might have to go through the same things exactly that Abraham did. But if we take that attitude and say, it's not for me, we miss out. We miss the boat. We fail to learn and apply the lessons that God has for us. Now, this book of Hebrews, and particularly chapter 11, is an extended illustration concerning scripture and theology and history to teach us about the focus on Christ in a life of faith. And so if you have your notes, we'll just begin to move through, so I'll sort of keep on track here. But if you look at the notes, we find that God's savvy travelers are called to be sojourners. And in your Bible, if you read again in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. So here's the first point. He was called by God. And this calling put him in the condition of being a sojourner. It's like this. One day he wasn't a sojourner. He lived there in a country called Ur of the Chaldees. And then God spoke to him and he said, now I am a sojourner. That's pretty basic, right? Oh, wait, we'll go on. We too have been called by God. You see, there's a call to salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says, today, if you hear my voice, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You see, there's a calling that goes out. I think the calling goes out through the word of God as it's preached. It goes out through the witness of individual people as they talk to their friends and neighbors and loved ones. It's the calling of God. God's speaking to your heart. And he's calling you to come to Christ. But not only is there a call to salvation, there's a call to service. And all saved people are called to serve by bearing witness for Christ. Now, Abraham, it says that he obeyed. He obeyed God when God called him. He heard the voice. I don't know if God was calling out to other people or not. You know, the Bible doesn't say. But Abraham heard it and obeyed. Would it have done him any good to have heard it if he just stayed in Ur? No. In fact, that's the thing about Abraham's life. By faith, he entered in the path of sojourning. By faith, he was justified before the Father. He was justified by works, in a sense, as James talks about it. And I won't go into all that, but he was justified through his obedience. He demonstrated that there was a reality to the things that he believed. And it showed out through his life. Now, we might either answer this call or not. We might serve out of duty or out of love. Which would you say would be better? To serve out of duty? Yes, sir, I must get up in the morning and go about my business. I must do this so much every day. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, like in the army. Or is it, Lord, I love you so much, I just want to do everything I can. This is a question for us. Have we been called by God? Have we heard his voice through his word? Have we obeyed his word? Well, we find with Abraham, not only did he obey, but if you'll look down to verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So here's the second point. If they confessed that they were sojourners. In other words, he took it on board. He was persuaded of it. He embraced it, as we're told there. We might say that Abraham consecrated himself to this life. We might say that he embraced it. We might say that he was passionate about it. I have to say, people get passionate about a lot of things in life, don't they? I've seen a lot of fellows get passionate about the footy or about the cricket. They go off their heads. Do we get that excited? What about, yes, I want to go to church today. Yeah. Oh, we got to just go out there and do what God says. Yay! Come on. I'm not a cheerleader, really, but you know, you get the point. Where are people's priorities? Sojourners had them focus on God. Abraham embraced the things of God. He embraced the calling. He didn't do it out of duty. He did it out of a love for God. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so those who follow in his steps also consecrate themselves in their calling and willing obedience. There are some today who would say the Christian life is easy. And maybe in a place like Australia, it's easier than other places. I don't know. But I would think that if you look very long, you find that it's not so easy. It requires commitment. Commitment. Again, sort of a lackadaisical attitude doesn't go along with the idea that you are a sojourner. It just doesn't fit. So, have we embraced the fact that we as Christians are sojourners? Have we put behind the desire for the things of the world and looking forward to the world to come? I can't answer that for you. So, what is a sojourner? We have to think about it. What does it mean? The Bible spells it out for us and makes it a bit plain. So, first we'll consider the biblical terms. Something normal for Christians. But in the Bible or New Testament, in English, it uses the words strangers, pilgrims, sojourners, and aliens. And all these words are a little bit different, but they're related, they're similar. And so here are I'm not expecting you to take a Greek class. You can ask Brother Angelo afterwards. He'll fix you up. Okay, I don't know that much Greek. I know a little Greek, right? His name's Angelo. No, just kidding, brother. I hope I'm glad he can take it. He's thick skin, right? No, but actually, it's quite interesting, and I think there's some things to learn from this. Poi keo, poi Paroikeo. It sort of means around the house, doesn't it? Around the house. But the meaning in the Greek is to dwell alongside. And often the meaning is foreign or foreigner. Okay? Now, for example, I'm a foreigner. You can tell by the way I talk, can't you? I ain't from here. I was born in a different country, and I live here. So sometimes the Bible speaks about people from other countries, other than Israel or whatever. And they're called foreigners, or they're foreign. But the emphasis in this case is not on the fact that they traveled. Now, you might think, oh, it'd be wonderful to take a trip. You know, I want to go around the world or do this or that. It's not on the travel. It's upon the fact that you've come from elsewhere. And it's usually translated sojourner. The second word, epidemeo. Epidemeo. It means to be among the people. And with it, some cases, it's called para epidemeo or epidemos. It means dwelling in a place other than your homeland. So the breakdown of the word would be like this. Epi is preposition, meaning upon, or here it means with para, among. You have to tell your English teacher tomorrow when you go to school about this, right? You learn the preposition. Now, the word demos you should all be familiar with. This is called a democracy, isn't it? A rule by the people, demos. That's right in the middle of this word, demos. So when you combine all these words with para, epa, and demos, it means someone who's come alongside to be among the people. Now, I don't know if you can read that. Is it on your paper? Although I'm not suggesting that the following is the character of God's sojourners, it gives us an idea of the meaning. The word epidemic. Epidemic. Do you ever think of yourself as an epidemic? Maybe some people around you do. I don't know. Epidemic. An epidemic is a disease that has come to be among the general public to the degree that there are a large number impacted. Isn't that what we say? There's this disease that's taking over. All these people are going to get sick. And so it's applied here in this term. Our location, our influence should impact others for Christ. We should be among them, and we should have an influence on them. And these are usually translated sojourner or pilgrim, and both of those words are here in our passage. So, an epidemic. Is that what you want to be? All right, the other words we'll go over quickly is Xenos and Alatrios and Alagenes. And basically, they're translated aliens or strangers. And strangers in the passage here, too. So it's a foreigner or a guest or someone belonging to another race or someone of another kind of nationality than what you are or of another ethnic background. All these are Bible words, okay? So one of the best descriptions to help you understand this is given by Paul. He says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're from someplace else. And we've come to live in a place that's not our home. We're among people who are not really connected to. And yet we're put there on purpose. And we're put there for a purpose. All this is part of what it means to be a sojourner. So what are sojourners? They've come alongside to be among the people. They're in the world, but not of the world. Well, we want to explore this a little bit further. What's the character of a sojourner? What are the inward qualities? And to do that, we have to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17... Peter says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. He's saying there's a certain quality about the person who is going to be a sojourner. The time that he spent here, he has to behave himself in a certain way. And it starts on the inside. And then it comes on the outside. All right? And so Peter answers for us through this passage how to pass the time of our sojourning here. How should we then live? How should the Christians therefore live? Well, we find for verse 13 that we're sober-minded. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're obedient, verse 14. That's what Abraham did. He obeyed God and was counted in for righteousness. Verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. Hey, we're no longer to follow that path. Amen. There's just a basic break and change from what we were. I no longer what I was. I may not be what I ought to be, but praise God I'm not there what I was. I'm on a different path now. Amen. And there ought to be a difference in your life if you're a real Christian. Has there been a change taking place? Well, he goes further in verse 17, there's a respectful fear of God. He says we're to pass the time of our sojourning there in fear. In verse 22, he says, seeing you have purified your souls through obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So we see there's a purified heart based on the truth. The truth shall set you free. The truth purifies us. Inwardly, we're sanctified through the truth. Thy word is truth. All these things are connected to the life of faith and as a sojourner. And the outworking of it is love. And that's a part of a sojourner's life. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. This is on fire or passionately. And so to summarize again, we see that they're holy in character. The first portion of the chapter, he says, be holy, for I am holy, verse 16. Happy in disposition. Why? Because they're saved by the blood of Christ and raised with Christ. And then they're hopeful in expectation. We have a certain hope. We have a no-so kind of hope. It's not a hope that just, well, maybe, possibly, if all things work out right, you know. No, we can be certain. Our hope is fixed on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All right, so all these things are part of the inward character. What about the outward character? Well, Peter talks about that too. In 2 Peter chapter 11, chapter 2, verse 11. And follow along as I read. And I'll point out some things. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. In other words, because you are strangers and pilgrims, I'm going to urge you, I'm going to exhort you, I'm going to challenge you. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that you may that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, and he summarizes it by saying in verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's sort of like four different things there that we emphasize, and all of them are connected to our relationships to others, our relationship to the brethren in the church, our relationship like to our boss in our job, our relationship to the government, and our relationship with God. So, a sojourner, his outward conduct is shown through the relationships he has around him. All right, better catch up. So we are to be worshipers of God. We are to be witnesses to God, and we are to be warners of God's coming judgment. Boy, this thing gives you a lot of power, doesn't it? You just think they just all watch you until you push a button. Boom. All right, are we there? All right, again, so what are they like? Just summarizing again. They have focused faith. Focused faith. It's focused on Christ. It's focused on God's will for their life. And they have an enlarged vision. Because it's focused, they can see more. They can see further. It's sort of like a telescope. You know, it's focused, but you can see further. They see some things that others do not see. You know, other people looking at the world, they're just looking down, aren't they? You know, it'd be like walking around like this all the time and just looking down. What can you see? Just your feet. You might be able to see where you've been, but you're not seeing where you're going. But people like this see things others don't see. And they believe things that others don't believe. I mean, even Lot traveled with Abraham. And in a sense, he joined with him on that journey, didn't he? He took the same journey, and he ended up in Canaan. But he didn't have quite the same vision. He didn't see things the same way. He took the well-watered plains of Jordan rather than the place of God's calling. And it was a disaster for him and his family, wasn't it? Saved, yet so as by fire. Well, sojourners are willing to do things that others do not do, and they go where others do not go. So it may be that there are folks here who could call yourself Christian. You never take a step of faith. You might still get to heaven just because God loves you, but you might wish for more. You see? They receive some things that others do not receive. God's got rewards. He's got things stored up in heaven for those who are willing to step out by faith to walk with Him. So, what are sojourners not? You had to be quick to see that, didn't you? They're not mystics or aliens. They're not rambling gypsies or wandering Jews, as I spoke about earlier, although Abraham was a wandering Jew. They're not necessarily refugees or asylum seekers. Those are people forced out of their countries. God's not forcing us out, is He? He's calling us out. Come, I've got a land. I've got some things to show you. Listen, look, look. Look at the stars, Abraham. Look at the sand. Does God have stars and sand for you? Have you ever seen what God has a vision for your life? It's not mundane and ordinary. It's something special that God might have for you. And you're not going to find it if you're not looking. These people, sojourners, are not so worldly minded that they become no heavenly good. You get that? Usually it's turned around. People are too earthly minded. They're too heavenly minded. They're no earthly good. I don't know how you can be too heavenly minded, by the way. But these people are too worldly minded. They can be no use to God. They have to live a different kind of life. We'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We find that we are introduced to a city, a country. In Hebrews 11, verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." A city for sojourners. You see, Abraham was from a city. He was from the city of Ur. It's one of the first cities in human civilization that we know about. You know, they're the ones who invented the wheel, and all these other things that they did are remarkable. And yet they worshiped the moon god, and they didn't know the true and living God. He was from that city, but he left it behind. And he didn't even look back. He took no more thought of it, we're told, in verse 15. "And truly, if he had been mindful of that country from whence he came out, he might have had opportunity to return." He might have said, "Oh, well, maybe it wasn't so bad in Ur. Let's go back." The thought never even crossed his mind. I'm turning my back. I'm burning my bridges. I'm stepping out by faith. I'm going to go and find what God has for me, or else, or die, or I don't know what he says, I'm going. He looked for a city, a better city, a city that had foundations, a blessed city, a heavenly city. Again, we're looking for something better than here and now. I think it's the yearning of every human heart. Again, we're looking for something better, but we're looking at all the wrong places. We've got to look to God. He has that kind of city. His journey, that is Abraham's journey, would take him there. He would reach that city, but not in his lifetime. In fact, the scriptures say that God has something better prepared for us. Even better in a sense than what Abraham had. It's something better. We have received the full revelation of the things of God through Christ in the New Testament. And we have a better understanding of those things which God lays out before us. He had to pass through foreign territory. You know, we may have to pass through sort of foreign territory to get there as well. But God is going to use him along the path. You see, it is partly about the journey. What are you doing while you're on that journey before you reach the destination? It would be easy to say, yeah, I got my ticket to heaven, like you take a roller coaster ride, and I'm going to sit back on the ride, and I'll go up. There'll be ups and downs, but I'll get to the other end. And you just sit back. But I think God has given us more than a ticket, hasn't he? The journey is more than a roller coaster ride. So sojourners look for a city that hath foundation. Their citizenship is in heaven. I began to think about this. I was born in a place called Pontiac, Michigan, in America. And I met my wife in a state called South Carolina. It's about 1,000 kilometers away. Even though she was from Michigan too. Same state, but we met in South Carolina. We ended up serving the Lord for 15 or more years there in another state called Virginia, probably 500 kilometers away from there. And then God began to speak to me about coming to Australia. I remember telling my wife, she said, are you crazy? And we said, no. And God just began to open the doors. And I think we would all say we love it here. And we went to this little town called Parks, you know. And we went there and... You know, usually people might meet you and say, oh, welcome here. You know, we're so glad you come. And how long are you going to stay? They didn't say that. They said, "How long? When are you going to go?" Well, God gave me a thick hide and a tender heart. So I just let it roll off. You know, we're sticking it out. But to live out in Parks, your grandparents had to be born there. You understand? Okay, they don't count you as one of them unless your grandparents are born there. So we're never going to be considered one of them. So we're not really at home. Although we've made our home here. We love it here. This is our home in Australia. I go back to that place I was born. I've still got two brothers live in that state. And we visit with them. We spend a couple days. I travel around. I might go through the places, see the little school I went to or whatever. It's not the same. The people are gone. The places have changed. I don't really feel at home there. I go back to Virginia. We were sent out from a church there. And it's a blessing, and we still have people we know there, but it's not home. I say, we're not really at home out in Parks, although we count that as our home. We're not home in Pontiac, Michigan, or Virginia. Where's our home? I think some of you folks know about this because you've traveled from all around the world to get here to Australia too, haven't you? Our home's up there. Our home's in the glory. Our citizenship is there. We belong there. We don't belong here. If you belong here, something's wrong. Okay? We're ambassadors of that land. We belong there, but we are here. And while we're here, we are the representatives of the living God. And I suppose the question is, what kind of representative are we? You know, are we a good one or a bad one? Are we whatever? We need to be living for God. So truly, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Faith is required for sojourners. It's not for the faint of heart and the faint of faith. And God says there are foundations, a city built on foundations. That speaks of security and strength. Everything on this world is sinking sand. It's the Rock of Gibraltar, a sort of a symbol of strength. And yet the heavenly city is much more secure than that. Heaven and earth shall pass away, God says. He says, I'm going to shake everything. And he's going to shake it until there's nothing left that can be shaken. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 13. Nothing left. There'll be some things that won't be shaken, though. Our faith, our God, our Bible. And they cannot be shaken. The blood of Christ, they cannot be shaken. Are we building upon the solid rock or shifting sands? I won't say it, but Jesus Christ said it. He says, the one who builds on sinking sands is a fool. The word in the Greek, here you go, brother. The Greek word is moron. And that's not a nice term nowadays, but that's the Bible word. So what do you call home? I actually picked this. This is actually two cities here. Anybody recognize that? No. It's Budapest. Buda and Pest. So it's connected by the bridge. Do we call a city home? What is our nation, our citizenship? I got this picture. This is actually from the European Union. Right? They think they're holding up the world. You can see, they got the flag there with the European Union, all those stars. This is part of the Antichrist thing, isn't it? Stars like... Anyway, they think they're holding up the world. Or is heaven our citizenship? Sojourners seek for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So the city is from God. It's established by Him. And it's given especially to sojourners. He's preparing it for us, isn't it? He promises it, provides it, prepares for us, plentiful, peaceful, prosperous. A place for perfected man. You see, from our verse, in verse 14, it says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a city. They're seekers and searchers after this. They're longing for it, verse 16. They long, they desire this better country. They're citizens of this country. They're ambassadors again. But the most amazing thing of all is in verse 16. What does God think about this? They desire a better country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. I read that as very sobering for me. You know, there's a lot of things that God could be ashamed of me about. And you know, we might, even in our heart of hearts, if we're honest, admit that sometimes we're ashamed of Christ. But here he says, these people, the ones that are like this, he's not ashamed of them. He's not ashamed to be called their God. He says, I know that fella. I'm his God. Wouldn't that be great? He's my God. I'm his. Not because there's any boasting on my part, but God, my God. What an amazing thing. He's not ashamed to be the captain of our salvation, Hebrews chapter 2. Not ashamed to be called our God. God connects with us. But I think it's especially with those who have this viewpoint, who have this commitment. And so we have to ask that question, are we pilgrims like Abraham, or are we like Lot? Are we savvy travelers, or are we just traveling? I have actually one more point I'm going to give you just briefly, and you can put it wherever you want, but we see the last point is Christ, the sojourner. Christ himself went out of the ivory palaces. He went from heaven's glory. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Even the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was a sojourner in a strange land. And he did it that he might redeem us. He suffered as a stranger on our behalf. So we ask this question, is God calling you tonight? Calling you? Maybe God's calling you to leave home and country. I don't know. Maybe God does want you to go to Canaan land, Ethiopia, Indonesia, India, someplace else. Maybe God has laid that on your heart. Maybe God's called someone to preach. I have to lay that out. I know God is still calling people to preach, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Maybe God would have you bring the message of the gospel to those in need today. Maybe God's calling some to trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. What is your response to him? Are you a pilgrim? Have you taken the first step on that journey? Are you following in faith? Are you seeking the heavenly city?